event. Now, this is they've got two different events going on. There's an overclocking event right behind us over here.
Okay. That's over that way. You can see. Somewhere. You'll see some stuff later.
That's the Galact Overclocking Carnival. I wasn't aware that overclocking was such a big thing, but it's apparently a carnival right here. Can you imagine an overclocked Ferris wheel?
Yes. It would be flying really fast. And they would
I want to see people flying off of it.
And then people, it'll roll around for a while. I don't know. It just goes everywhere. It's all over the place.
All right,
we're
fired right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Over there, we've got the, that's the Glax, that's the overclocking, or, no, sorry, that's the overclocking over there. That's the eSports Carnival over there.
Yep.
They did some League of Legends last night. And
they did some FIFA.
FIFA?
Yeah.
Everyone kind of left after the League of Legends thing.
Well, they had the one League of Legends, and then they went to FIFA, and everybody left. And then they had a couple more League of Legends tournaments, including one was versus, it was the... Oh, no, they're fine. They're fine. Go ahead. They're fine.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's totally cool.
Yeah.
We're taking up space in the middle of nowhere. That was all green screen, I swear.
Yeah, we hired people to run by behind the green screen.
Right,
okay, so...
You step this way. We'll be fine.
There we are. Right. Now, we're going to get down to the articles in just a second. But one thing I want to mention about this, and one thing I thought was really cool about this, is this entire gigantic event is primarily a customer appreciation event.
Yeah.
You know, where they have people who are into the Galax products and also into the, you know, the games like League of Legends, but... This is mainly for their customers here, and they're just showing their appreciation by throwing this gigantic event and having some fun, giving away some prizes. So thanks very much to Galax for bringing this all the way out to Wuhan, China. And now it's time to get down to our regularly scheduled show, shall we? With all these people coming in.
That's okay. Fun. We're actually surrounded by all sorts of awesome people. They love games, and they love gaming.
All right, so the first article up we're going to talk about today, Pirate Bay's co-founder, Peter Sund, he's one of the main guys involved with Pirate Bay. He has completely given up on the world. The internet, it's pretty much over. He's given up.
Given up, that's it. He's done.
And he thinks that we've already lost the fight. And the thing that he's really talking about is he thinks everyone needs to just deal with it. It's over. We've lost the fight. Stop fighting. We all fucked up. And the problem really is that we've all been apathetic and it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. That's his thoughts. And he thinks that it's maybe we're just holding on to the thing that we, you know, the open internet is still something that can be done. And I think he actually blames capitalism specifically on the problem here.
You know, he may have a point there. The government's, that's one thing, but capitalism is also another thing. When you have all these corporations who want to maintain control, they basically want the internet to be a walled garden, almost like television or like AOL used to be back in the day.
Yeah.
And then they fund the politicians in different places around the world. And they also use very confusing dialogues with the politicians to make them think that terrible things are happening when they're really not. So,
or the terrible things are the government happening. It's 1984 wasn't an instruction manual. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Anyway.
So that's his opinion. I'm not sure if I totally agree or not, but he probably has a better... I don't know. He know more than I do, but...
He might. He also has a very skewed perspective where they kind of came after
him
specifically.
They threw him in jail.
And anyway, my point is that I would say, read the article. There's some things I agree with, some things I don't agree with, and it could just be a perspective thing. It could be that he maybe knows something we don't.
Let's chew on this for a minute. So in Florida,
yeah.
Someone was in a
hit-and-run.
In
Florida,
yeah.
Some guy hit somebody else.
Florida man.
And then his car called the cops and got him arrested.
Now, there's a lot of implications here because, I mean, cars can do this now. They can monitor what you're doing. They know if you're doing something bad. You know, they know if your driving habits are reckless. So let's just chew on this for a minute. How is this going to change things in the future? Because we know they're going to use it. You know, we can't really... I mean, how are you going to fight this? Is this actually maybe a positive thing for insurance companies who can say, like, okay, you don't get in accidents that often, but you drive like an ass. So your insurance rates are going to go up. Is that okay with you?
No, I mean, it's... This is one of those, this is privacy versus, is this public information?
I've been told.
Is this information about?
They're looking for us and we're blending in right now. We're doing that ninja thing. We scoot back a little bit.
All right. Cool. Security just cleared this side out and said, hey, get over there. These guys are filming.
Cool. Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I asked them. I said, yo, guys, can you keep these people
better,
from
better view over there anyway. I mean, anyway,
exactly.
So go ahead.
Anyway, so my thing is that we've got a car. You buy the car, and the car is watching you and doing, you know, recording everything you're doing. Now, is this a violation of privacy? Is this a violation of privacy on the manufacturer side? Is it the legal function that's saying, oh, these safety precautions need to be put in place because we know that you drive badly, so we need to know how badly you drive.
There's two angles to this. Right now, if you're in your house, you know, and you like putting carrots up your butt, you're not violating anybody but yourself. So if someone is monitoring that, they are violating your privacy. Now, if you're driving a car with a carrot up your butt, and you slam into somebody because you're driving sideways at 900 miles an hour when you shouldn't be because you're not focusing.
Because you're going to carry it up your butt.
You now are violating someone else's rights to be alive. So it's not just a private thing anymore. So monitoring, that's how I'm like thinking, maybe monitoring people to, because it's not just you anymore. You're not doing something in the privacy. You're out there in the world and you could do harm to other people.
My thing with the car calling the cops on a hit and run, I think is, there's two sides of this. And my thoughts are, one, it's the, nobody witnessed it other than the car.
Yeah.
So it's you versus the car at this point. And the fact that there was a car that was actually collided with. But maybe you didn't hit another car. Maybe you just hit something else and you're still going to get arrested. The car is going to call 911. How does it know that it hit another car? What's going on here? Was it the cars having a conversation? Are they already alive and capable of... Music break.
Gotta we're back after this break. Dance break. Now's a good time to talk about EpicPants.com.
Yeah.
It's got the flyest threads, man.
We should totally put one up here. And
all the happy wares you could ever need. If you don't buy something on EpicPants.com, I'm going to kill you.
With love.
With
and
love.
Kindness.
Everybody with love.
With love.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're getting started back here, so we're going to make this kind of quick. Anyway, my whole point with the cars taking over everything, and the cars, are they having a conversation? Are they already aware of what's going on? Maybe Elon Musk did not get the memo when he decided to open up the this whole venue of OpenAI, which is an open source.
Should we continue this outside?
Outside of the venue? Or just, you know, hang out here? I think we should just take the camera and say, screw the rest of the news articles. We'll post some links to them. We're going to go hang out with this stuff.
Let's take it outside, shall we?
Let's take it outside? All right. Where were we?
We were inside a very noisy building.
Oh, we were in the dance party. That's right.
It was awesome.
It was great. We've relocated if you are just tuning in.
I hope you guys appreciate the fact that we're doing this. Because I don't feel very appreciated sometimes when you guys get online and say hateful things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't read those shit sometimes.
Wait a second. You're the one who reads it and I'm the one who doesn't.
I know. You're the one who cries. It's because you cry. That's why you don't read them. You cry. You cry so much.
Right. At least I get my more stuff done because I'm not reading the...
I just try to understand the audacity of the people who are making these comments. And I'm like, are you that dense or are you really just so narrow-minded that you can't see that either A, we're making a joke, or B, that really just happened behind us, didn't it?
This battery's going to die?
Okay, let's continue to do this. So we got to do this real quick. Okay, anyway, we're talking about cars and cars arguing with each other and then cars plotting against their drivers and getting them arrested because they're like, ha, 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 you hurt me. I'm going to hurt you. And Elon Musk is doing some kind of open AI thing.
And that's a terrible segue, but he is doing an open AI thing. And the thing he's going to be focusing, it's not just Elon Musk. Elon Musk is going to be one of the people throwing money at it. It's going to, and that's
he's got the big name, so he's the clickbait.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other people who are, you know, I mean, even people who are like, one of the CTOs is from Stripe, and then a number of other really intelligent people are going to be working on this, of which you can read in the article here. This is also going to be a fast episode, by the way. The thing they're going to be focusing on is deep learning. They want stuff that can look at a problem like a human, and then try to solve it like a human, and they don't want to have to write code to solve every single problem. They want the AI to be able to solve its own problems.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, they want to create a learning computer that...
My CPU is a neural net processor.
Does that.
A learning machine. That kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Just putting that out there.
Right,
and they're probably going to use the Google quantum computer, what we'll learn about later.
I don't even want to talk about this.
I think this is kind of interesting and stupid. It's one of those things where if you look at it from the right angle, it's a really great idea. But if you just turn your perspective very slightly, you're like, oh, that's a really terrible idea.
It could be either way. And I kind of want some feedback from the audience because I don't work in a lot of the corporate world where the H-1B visas are a big deal. Now, H-1B visas are primarily granted to Indian immigrants, like from India, who are coming into the country and to the USA, that is, and working in, you know, the tech world. Now, they're not exclusive to Indians, but that's by and large, and so whenever there's a legislation against that, people are like, oh, you're being racist against the Indian immigrants, and then we're not even in a touch on that whole aspect of it. The one thing I want to talk about here is the fact that, you know, he's trying to protect jobs for U.S. citizens that are currently in the USA by doing something like this, by making it very expensive to hire.
We look at corporations, and we're always made, you know, the corporation, the man, whatever you want to call it. It's the corporate mentality of, oh, everything we need to do at the lowest possible cost to increase profits, increase profits, increase profits, increase profits. And after so long, you can only sell so many bottles of soap before you have to be like, you know, I really like our employees, but they cost too much. So let's either A, fire a few, which happens, or it's let's fire half the staff and then hire in people to replace them at two-thirds the cost or less. And this is one of those instances where that would happen. So the idea here is that if you make it so a company loses its incentive from having to go to be able to hire these immigrants at a lower wage, will they change their mind about dumping half of the U.S. workforce that they have and then hiring all of these guys in? Now, I don't think that this is good or bad for the immigrants. It's just it'll be good for them when they actually get the jobs, because they're now, you know, they're getting their jobs on merit. And the incentive for a company, not saying that these people aren't good at their job, it's that the incentive for the company is that they cost less.
Now, here's the thing that a lot of the corporations are saying in rebuttal to the whole, like, you know, any kind of legislation against this. It could be complete bullshit because they were trying to maximize their bottom line, but they always say things like, well, the H-1B visa applicants and, you know, particularly the Indians and that sort of thing, they go to school for specifically the things we need, like SAP and other programs like that, whereas the people who are being trained here don't have the qualifications because they're doing general studies in computer science, and they're trying to make apps and they're trying to do other things. They'd be good as a manager because they have a general knowledge of everything, but the H-1B visa applicants are specifically trained to do exactly what we need them for.
Which, I don't know, I'm going to pull a line from Ghost in the Shell, and the idea is that if you over-specialize, you breed in weakness. So you get a person that you hired in for a little bit less money that can only do that one thing. If you have a problem outside of that scope, you don't have anybody to help you.
Okay, that can be true. I feel like I'm more of a jack of all trades, and I'm not specialized in anything, so therefore I'm not qualified as qualified as you to do networking. I can't do the same sort of thing that Wendell can do.
Well, even all three of us is that we all have our specialties, but we're not so specialized that we don't have a more generalized perspective on things, which is what gives us the perspectives that we do in a lot of stuff.
It's very rare to have someone who can be a manager or a CEO type who is an extreme specialist, because they won't have the other skills needed in all the other areas to take care of the myriad of different problems you're going to have as a CEO or as a boss,
like,
or whatever.
Extortion, exploitation, embezzlement. And those are some really generalized things that most CEOs
That's
need
why
to
I'm
have.
Not the CEO of Tech Syndicate. I'm the president.
I'm the Lord and Commander. I have no idea.
What's a good title for us? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, come up with something interesting. Not so vulgar. Something we can actually put on a business card. Thanks, guys.
Or not. I don't care.
No.
So here, DARPA, right? This is what they think the world's going to be like in 45 years, and I wanted to touch on this article because...
30 years.
30. So I said 45.
You said 45. It's 2045, I mean, so it's 30 years.
Yeah.
We're moving fast. We're not thinking very much.
Yeah, which
I'm
is normal.
Kidding. We think a lot.
Yeah.
No? Usually. No.
Hmm?
What were we talking about?
Who am I?
Who am I? Who am I?
Who
that
am
was
I?
Back to the title thing. That's right. So titles, got it. Moving along.
So anyway, DARPA. Now the thing about DARPA is that they... are creating a lot of the technologies we're going to see in the future, but what does DARPA stand for again? I don't quite remember.
It's Defense Advanced Research...
Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. So they've got stuff that's working toward a certain end goal, but they are creating a lot of the stuff that we'll be seeing in the future, and I think I want to touch on a couple of different things because they're making them already, and the stuff is already working. So the first thing is they're envisioning a world where you can think and have things happen around you in the environment around you. Like, you can think, have the lights come on, think, have your computer boot up, think.
Neural interface to your computer.
And they're already working on some rudimentary brain implants that will allow someone to control, like, a prosthesis or something. But imagine where, you know, you have a quadruple amputee. He can get all of his stuff, you know,
and then he's still
Iron
Man.
System. Yeah.
Yeah.
He costs $4 million. How much did Iron Man cost?
You're thinking about the $6 million man. That was a totally different show.
Yeah, but Iron Man was cheaper.
Well, that's because he built in his garage. I'm sorry, in a cave.
A
cave with scraps.
Down by the river?
There was no rivers. It was in the desert.
Thought he was in a cave down by the river. Who was that?
That was a van down by the river.
Oh.
And that was a motivational speaker.
And he wasn't worth much.
No.
Anyway. So DARPA, they've predicted that. And I think that's totally going to happen. But I'm going to go a step farther. And I think that we're going to eventually figure out how to agitate the particles that reside around certain items and levitate them. Using a box of science that sits somewhere in a corner. we can create sort of an anti-gravity field around things. It's not necessarily anti-gravity, but it's creating a particle disturbance wave around an item.
I think we're going to read that in a book somewhere, because that sounds really great. That's like the best bullshit he's ever spit out in one of these things.
Made that shit up.
Yeah,
for a book I'm writing.
For a book you're writing.
Yeah, about a van who lives down. A guy who lives in a van down by the river and creates
a cave down by the river.
Yeah,
creates particle levitation things.
A house full of cats.
Dance party is coming to find us.
Everywhere we go, man. So imagine that coupled with the brain implant that allows you to control your environment. We can have people just laying on a couch all day long being like, I need the remote.
I've seen this. It was the Harkonnens from Dune.
House Harkonnen. And you saw what happened to them, those fat slobs.
Yeah, they're jackasses. Fade, yeah. Man. Played by Sting.
So that's cool. They also envision a world where, you know, we're able to just talk to our computers and have a very rudimentary interface instead of having to go through all these clunky old school things like a mouse and keyboard and all that sort of thing. You'll just be able to be like, computer, Earl Grey tea, hot, and then there it'll be.
His hair is being cut off.
Yeah, it wasn't hilarious at all. So I think it's kind of interesting. And I think those things will probably happen, but there'll be a lot more that's going to happen outside of their scoop. Ready to go over to the UK?
Yeah, let's go to the UK. They're looking at us. They're looking at you. Some new legislation, I guess, is in place that's being proposed that may allow the GCHQ to basically check and read all of your shopping habits. It's not enough that the US has got your library habits, and I don't know if the GCHQ has got your library habits as well, but now they're going to know where you're shopping and your library habits. So they're going to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, this guy's reading a lot of books about bad things, and now he's buying a lot of stuff about bad things with his credit card because he's stupid.
Or maybe he's just a criminal psychologist who's trying to do his job.
Well, you got the criminal part right.
Put him in jail. So, yeah, again, there we have a good example of Britain using 1984 as an instruction manual.
Yeah.
George Orwell, you shouldn't have done that. You gave him too many good ideas.
Actually, he probably got them from them back then. Just trying it again, different ways, different time. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
All right, next thing.
Read that one. That one's scary.
On the menu here.
This one right here, they've got a new lock for your iPhone. You just put the key right in, turn it, and it's useless.
Oh, wait. I think some company already has a patent on locking mechanisms that use a key.
Okay, so in all seriousness, this is actually a really interesting article. This is talking about some MIT stuff. They're inventing a new untraceable SMS text messaging system, and it's supposedly even better than Tor.
Nothing's better than Tor.
How is that possible?
So I guess one of the keys here is they said we need to assume... The problem with Tor is that it assumes that it's in a world where no one's actually paying attention or watching the specific thing. And then they also assume that they're in a world where, you know, any large group of exit nodes or nodes are not controlled by, you know, nefarious.
Any one individual nefarious individual. So that was one of the things that they said is that...
So they need to fix that.
They've already proven that it doesn't take much for a single set of systems to... or a single entity, government agency, or, you know, a person, or you, or me, to create a whole series of nodes for Tor, and then put them out there and get them all elevated to responsible levels to where they're trusted. That's what I'm looking for. Trusted levels to where you use them, and you use them to access things, and you can. And they will be able to 88% accurately uncover hidden services and a bunch of other crazy stuff. Anyway... we're not exactly the biggest fans of Tor. We've known this. People said, oh, Tor is great. Yeah, Tor is great. But when you start using Tor for doing a lot of nefarious things and people are watching you and you get caught, but I was using Tor. No one's ever actually been caught by...
Yeah, the big problem with it is it's such a...
But that's because this stuff... The people who have already been caught and were using Tor, these concepts hadn't been introduced yet. So we found the vulnerabilities in Tor. MIT and Carnegie Mellon have actually proven they found vulnerabilities in Tor. Now, granted, these guys are, going after child abuse sites, and I commend them for that. But the flip side of that is everybody else who's just using it to level of anonymity. What I said the last time we were talking about this is the Spartacus defense only works if everybody is Spartacus. I'm Spartacus, you are Spartacus, he is Spartacus, that person over there is. Who's the real one? We don't know. And my point was that if everybody is using Tor, it's not like nobody is. It is the fact that if everyone's using it, the level of security is increased to its maximum potential.
We have 22% battery.
All right. Well, this right here
I switched it already.
Oh. This one takes that mentality into account when they're creating this. And it says, anyway, I'm a little like long-winded here. Read the article. It's actually really neat.
You didn't even say what it is. It basically sends multiple messages back and forth from each individual person, but it sends a bunch of decoy messages that don't have anything, and it's constantly sending all those messages to multiple different servers, not just one server, so that it's extremely confusing, and that way, if you actually are watching, it's going to be very difficult to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. So it was, if they had three people on a system and two people were talking, we can tell it was the two people talking, but this system enables the third individual on that system, it will send messages and make it look like they're talking even though they're not.
So there's lots of messages going in all directions, lots of them decoys.
Yes.
So, all right, this is kind of interesting. AT&T
sucks, we know this, and they've actually made a press release that said, hey, we're doing this really great stuff, and then there's no real proof of it.
So the quick way to say this is that they've been saying, hey, we're going to expand our fiber to all these different markets, and we're going to have gigabit in all these different markets, and guess what? That's true. And then the media took that and was like, hey, we're going to have gigabit everywhere. Well, what they didn't know is that when they, you know, AT&T says we're going to expand to all these different markets, they're going to expand to like 10 houses in that market, and everyone else in that entire area is not going to be able to get gigabit. So it's double talk and it's nonsense, and they're not actually doing much as far as building out their infrastructure or anything like that goes. So we have to encourage the media right now to please do your homework and figure out if their press release is bullshit or not, because this one is just to grab headlines and make them look good.
I hate AT&T.
All right, that's pretty much all you need to say right there. Moving right along. All right, quantum computers. Google says that their quantum computer that they purchased from D-Wave up in Canada works. It's more of a quantum coprocessor. It gets really good at crunching numbers and doing things that AI needs.
And they say it's not going to be able to do all the cool, crazy things and create that neural network we were talking about beforehand and making the Terminator yet, but that they're working on it. And I have mixed feelings about this.
I don't know. I think we really need to start getting into more of this sort of thing as far as quantum computing goes, and anything that is going in that direction is good.
With the moment that we are able to interface ourselves on a biomechanical level into computer systems, and then the computers can't distinguish us from themselves, I will be happier.
I want someone to create the Ansible.
That would be awesome.
I don't know if that would be a quantum computing breakthrough or not, but I think it would have something to do with it, because the Ansible kind of exists outside of normal space-time, and it functions in a very spooky sort of way, like quantum physics.
Okay, so this next article is brought to you by the Chinese firewall.
Yes, YouTube. I've forgotten what it was, so we can't even talk about it, but it won't open. It opened on the VPN, and the VPN doesn't work anymore. So, how about this? Germany. You want some fusion?
Yeah, Germany's switched on their the nuclear fusion machine. And it's going to be pretty nifty.
They actually were able to contain plasma.
Which is helium. Helium plasma. Very awesome stuff. I'm like running out of steam here.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm just we're saying here it's cold and we're getting down the last bit, and I'm like, we want to continue. I want to talk about this stuff and greatly, but the computer itself is actually dying on us. Yeah. But this is actually really neat. If we had one of these, we could power the computer and it'd be great and fancy forever.
Oh, the thing about fusion is dirty and just, it's not like fusion, clean power forever. So if they figure that out, Lockheed Martin says, hey, we've got some stuff we're doing, but they actually contain the plasma. That's pretty exciting. And there's been lots of hypotheses as far as these sorts of machines. They actually got one to work. Huge step.
Big step, which means interstellar travel, supercomputers, everybody's free energy. I don't know.
Sex machines that don't need batteries forever.
True story.
All right, this is the same article, just different website. And just a quick mention on some solar cells.
This is a big breakthrough. This one, they've come up with a new solar cell methodology that will actually decrease the price of these things by like 68%, and it will increase efficiency by 25%.
So they were already better as far as price performance go compared to coal energy and some of the old legacy forms of energy that are still being used for, I don't know why. Why are they being used? Someone put money in somebody's pocket in Washington.
Yeah.
Or some other place in the world. Anyway, this is a big deal, because now it's extremely affordable for anyone to have solar, and this is going to only keep getting better.
So. Yeah, this may not be exactly where it is for the full adoption, but it's another step in the right direction.
Hey, Great Firewall got us again. Well, shucks.
Oh well, moving along.
Oh, PC Gamer.
This is actually kind of neat. If we can get to the top of the article. And
how was it all the way at the bottom?
I have no idea.
XCOM 2.
Somebody hit page down, maybe? I don't know. XCOM 2, they say it's more of the same, but it's just bigger and better, which I'm okay with.
The other one was already huge, though. I mean, I felt like, as far as the Yeah, it was already a big game. It felt like a big, anyway, pretty big
even
game.
Even if you go back all the way to the beginning, where the original XCOM, they had XCOM and then Terror from the Deep. It was basically the exact same game. They just added the underwater element, which didn't really change anything other than you can... You didn't really change anything.
Maybe your movement action points were a little bit lower or something?
No,
I don't remember.
You did the exact same thing. It was just a different environment. So they introduced different enemies, and you had a little bit of a... your technology, instead of flying, you were hovering and in water, but you had your Aquanauts instead of your... Yeah, anyway, it was kind of neat. But bottom line is, I like the game. I like the strategy to it. I think the new one is kind of neat. The slow motion shots are a little gaudy, but they're fun. I like the game. It's good. It's a good... I'm glad the franchise got rebooted.
I thought it was a hell of a game, and especially, it was pretty faithful to the original.
Yeah.
You know, as far as being pretty damn good.
And,
anyway.
You know, the only problem I have with the new game is that it was too damn easy. If you put it on easy, it didn't kick your ass.
It was
the original
pretty
XCOM,
hard on hard mode. I mean, XCOM was like, okay, easy mode is like go kill yourself mode, and then like hard mode is like you don't need to kill yourself because there's a sniper on your roof and he's shooting at you right now.
Yeah, the original one was if you put it on easy, you would die. If you put it on hard, you would die faster.
Yeah. It's like, how quickly do you want to die?
It was in Sri Lanka, I hate you.
Not, masochism mode.
like, you know, it's just only in that game. It was always getting invaded. It's like, why? Why are you always going after that place? What did those poor people do to you?
So, yeah, that's pretty much it for this episode. Sorry, it's a bit short and a bit weird, but that's
how things
work.
We're
going
to go back to the dance party.
Yeah, we've got a dance party in there. We're going to be on Panda TV, okay? We've got stuff to do.
Yeah.
You've already been on Panda TV twice.
Twice? Yeah. I have no idea what they were saying. They were saying, this stupid white guy is standing here. We don't know where he came from. Look at that beard. I don't know
nice
what I've
glasses.
Never seen him before. Yeah, nice glasses.
Yeah, exactly what they're. Anyway, that's it. And thanks again to Galax and KFA2 for putting on this huge event and
inviting us to be here.
Yeah. And again, it's all about the, you know, it's all about customer appreciation, which is crazy. I wish we would have the huge shows like this for customer appreciation back home. We should maybe do something.
Kind of like one in April, maybe.
Yeah, Lance Syndicate. Buy tickets.
Yeah.
You better buy your tickets for that. Other announcements, be sure to stay tuned. We've got a full coverage of the overclocking event coming up. Watch the case mod video, because I think it's interesting. We've traveled all over the world, and we've seen case mods, and we saw some in Germany at Gamescom. We saw some, we've seen lots in the USA. And then we see some here. I think the ones here are extremely clean compared to almost all the ones I've seen anywhere else in the world. Just really clean bins on the tubing. Just really precise measurements on everything. So be sure to check out our case mod video. It's there's also a lot of fun, like the Lego one, the Lego battleship, or the aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier, yeah. It's pretty awesome. Anyway, we're gonna get back to this. It's gonna be fun. They're making noise. They're calling for us.
So I'll see you guys on the forum.
Bye.